who knew that Federico Garcia Lorca was more than a poet, but such a lovely composer? How was it to record these songs and to discover them?
Well, I have actually been familiar with his work for a long time. And when I began to work with Isabel Leonard, who is an amazing singer, and because she's Argentinian background, she grew up speaking Spanish. So to do this kind of all Spanish repertoire was really a natural. And I suggested the idea of us doing the Garcia Lorca songs. And in fact, there's an old recording shortly before Garcia Lorca was murdered of him performing these songs with a famous Argentinian singer named La Argentinita. So we were able to study that. Garcia Lorca never wanted to write his music down. And for that reason, it also gives me a lot of freedom to capture the essence of the real guitar sound that he was trying to do on the piano. And the arrangements I would do in the process of rehearsing with Isabel would be a very collaborative one. She'd explain the meaning of the songs and say, can you do a strum here? Or this one really should go up high an octave. And there was really a lot of putting our minds and hearts and souls together to make this really a realization of the music, the spirit, the character, the lyrics of these songs.
And I imagine that, you know, just adds to the sort of the recording. I love the idea of celebrating Carnegie Hall with a new work by Richard Daniapour. But to sort of bring you guys together, I think this is just a perfect combination.
Well, thank you so much. And it was a real joy for us to do because we love the music. We feel it. It's part of our DNA. And for me, it was a fun challenge to be able to make my own arrangements of 12 of the songs on this album, because the Garcia Lorca arrangements really were not satisfactory that had been published by other people. So we really had to start from scratch and do it on our own. And I couldn't have had a better collaborator than Isabel Leonard.
Sharon, I wanted to ask, you know, there's a great Leonard Bernstein quote about, you know, artists that will, you know, just make, you know, art more, will be more passionate. Does it help to have these sort of diversions and this sort of artistry to get it through the world and to be able to share that for others? I know you're such a wonderful person who practices meditation and whatnot, but would you share a little bit of your thoughts with the art and world events?
Well, for me, as a meditator, for example, it's been very important to help share that process of transcendental meditation. I just did a benefit in June, a sold-out show at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., where I was joined by a variety of artists, including Jay Leno and Jerry Seinfeld, who are both meditators. It was great to be able to hug them and be in a picture with two of my favorite comedians. But this particular benefit raised money to give transcendental meditation for free to 10,000 at-risk youth and veterans in the D.C. area. We did a similar show in Carnegie Hall the year before. It's so important when you look at someone like Garcia Lorca, who was murdered by fascists. I mean, we're in a time where we have to be acutely aware of what's going on and resist and protest. And if you look at my Twitter account, you'll see that it's interspersed probably more with political things than it is with artistic things. With Facebook, I kind of keep it more artistic. But feel free to explore all of that and see how important it is for us to be very much citizens of the world and to not only give positive energy through our art, but also to inspire others and to speak out when there is injustice.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious, I know you've had such incredible collaborations and across styles and genres, you know, the idea of working with rock guitarists and jazz guitarists and flamenco. In this sense, has that all sort of built up to be able to look at those and say, yeah, this needs the right flavor. This needs the, you know, this little, you know, if it's like cooking, you know, this needs a little more salt or a little less pepper.
Absolutely. And actually, that's the metaphor that I use when I'm teaching for my students to bring nuances. It's like creating this great stew, but forgetting to put the spices in. Those nuances, the portamenti, the rubato, the vibrato, all of those things that I really feel on the guitar capture the essence of your soul. That is so important to this. And your analogy with cooking is right. So when you look at something like Aranjuez Ma Pensée by Joaquin Rodrigo, I've done that in many, many incarnations. Of course, the famous Concierto de Aranjuez that Rodrigo wrote. And I recorded that several times, including with the New York Philharmonic. But when his daughter Cecilia offered me the chance to make the very first recording of this arrangement that was penned by Rodrigo with lyrics by his wife, Victoria Camhi, in 1988, I leapt at the opportunities. I did that earlier with Suzanne Menser, and now have been able to revisit it with Isabel, which is, again, a joy. And this music is very evocative of the cantadores, the cantejondo of the flamenco style, but yet in a classical version, so you don't have the gruffness of the flamenco. You have the smoothness and the beauty of our classical style, but with that essence of the Spanish soul and the yearning and the nostalgia. Of course, Rodrigo wrote this when he was mourning the loss of what would have been their first child, and nobody knew if his wife would live or die from the experience. So he would come back every night from visiting her in the hospital, unable to sleep, and would console himself by playing this beautiful adagio. She recovered and years later penned the magnificent lyrics to this song, and we're thrilled to be able to present this for you.
Well, we're so in love with Alma Española. There are two wonderful guitar solos where you get a shine and return to music by Granados and Tárrega. How is it to sort of, and as you mentioned, you know, you've recorded the Rigo before in different formats. How is that to return to repertoires? It's sort of a chance to give it a fresh idea. Have your ideas changed very much over the years for these pieces?
That's a great question. My evolution as a person, as an artist, as a musician, automatically means that I'm going to play the music differently now than I did years ago. And in fact, it's kind of fun because if I listen to what I did in a concert last night versus a concert a week ago, it's also different. So it's part of it is just the process of growing and changing, and part of it is the spirit of the moment that can affect tempo and rubato and nuances. Granados celebrates his 150th anniversary this year, so it's a very timely moment to be playing his music. The Danza Española No. 5, Andaluza, is one that's been close to my heart for a long time. And Capricho Árabe by Francisco Tárrega is different in that it was actually originally written for the guitar by one of the most famous 19th century guitarist composers of our time. All of this fits into the spirit of the Alma Española songs that we include on the album. And in fact, Granados, if you look back at history, it had a very close relationship to this music, and he perished in World War I when the boat that he was on was sunk by the Germans who torpedoed it. And if you look at Garcia Lorca and Manuel de Falla, they have a relationship as well. In fact, de Falla offered to hide Lorca when he was on the hit list of Franco in his cellar, and de Falla was disappointed when Lorca turned him down. And then, of course, the rest is history. He was murdered by Franco. ¡Viva Sevilla! ¡Viva Sevilla!
Well, we are tickled about Alma Española on Bridge and look forward to so much more and really appreciate you talking to us today.
Thank you so much.